From the verb innovare, which means simply to innovate, to reform, or to change. But what is innovation? It's often tough to define, but we know it when we see it. It's a new idea, creative thoughts, new imaginations, methods, theories, it's bettering ourselves. But we take these actions often out of necessity. So what if we could harness the scrapper mentality, the hustler, the actions of those who are just trying to survive, and put it into everyday use? This is my passion project. I've attended some of the world's largest innovation conferences, developed the latest and greatest technology, and produced change within organizations who were built on and preach tradition. Now I'm here to help entrepreneurs and everyday individuals make small changes and establish a new normal through new methods, ideas, and standards to change your life forever. I'm Roy Edwards, and welcome to the Innovare Project.
I welcome you to Innovare. Yeah, this is where we innovate. This is the podcast where changes are made. If you're not growing, then you're dying. Innovation is the key to surviving. This is Innovare, where we ain't scared to make that change and create a new way, If you're ready to learn and sit back and just chill, it's about to get real, this is Innovare.
What's up, guys? Welcome into the Innovare podcast. I am your host, Roy Edwards, and this is the podcast that helps you innovate, change, and increase your mindset towards productivity and success. We help entrepreneurs and everyday people make small changes towards progress. If this is your first time, welcome. Please subscribe. Leave us a review. That really helps with our rankings, which we made the top 100, and we are on an epic battle and quest here to defeat the Google podcast in technology. We were last ranked at number 89 in technology podcasts within the US on iTunes. So guys, if you're on iTunes listening, please hit that subscribe and leave us a review. If you're returning and you haven't left a review or you haven't subscribed, please do so. Again, this helps us out. So guys, today's show, we're going to get into a new, I don't know if it's a thought process or phenomenon, social media nonsense, but there's this idea that the holiday season and the gifts that you give and get on Christmas should not spotlight the jolly fat man. And really, I believe that this gets into a few different things. It gets into credit and where credit should be due. That's on the business side of things too. I do relate this into business and how it's not always about who necessarily should get the credit. And if you were giving credit to the processes, the procedures, and to the business while still spotlighting your individuals of who are doing things, thanking individuals, people should always be thanked. But the managers and the awards and the scrum masters and the entrepreneurs and the business owners so oftentimes want to make sure, hey, like I did this, I did that. Sure, yeah, that's fine. But if we chalk it up to the greater good and the company, then we don't have to run through those types of individual wind things, and people get along a lot better. And that is the same with this holiday season, where I'll get to this a little bit more, but there's been this thought process around here where people are saying to stop telling their kids about the big gifts coming from up north. Where really, is that really the way that you want to go about this? I understand the reasonings, and we'll get into that in a second. So let's get started. So the Santa spotlight is something that people have been debating in recent years. It's this idea that Santa shouldn't get all the credit for all the gifts because it promotes some sort of idea that parents didn't work hard for the gifts and instead spotlights some unknown magic, some mythical creature or person, where children are instead ungrateful to their parents for the year that they've had and all that they've received on this one magical day. And so one social worker named Megan Dunn has received a lot of attention recently for her post on Facebook. The Queensboro, Kentucky claims there's a powerful reason parents may want to consider making sure that their kids know that their gifts, particularly the expensive gifts, came from them and not jolly old Saint Nick. She says, "I cannot stress this enough," she said. Then in all caps, "Stop telling your Santa age kids that their iPads, iPhones, and $200 toys are from Santa. She wrote in an impassioned caps laden Facebook post, sending this out additionally, because some families can't afford that. Little kids wonder why they got socks or a coat or hand-me-down toys from Santa, and other kids got an iPad. So while this message of inclusiveness and not letting others know that Santa doesn't think that some kids are more important, that's of good intention, but the area of focus here is completely off base. If you're teaching your child that the season is based on getting and not giving, then you're missing the entire nature of the holiday season. So first off, the Christmas holiday is not about the Jolly Fat Man. So let's just get that out of the way first. The season is to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, and the reasoning for the gift is twofold. One, from a Christian standpoint, it is a celebration of the gifts that were given by the three wise men who trekked across the desert following the Christmas star and to find the promised Savior, right? That's the story of the birth of Jesus. That's why presents are exchanged, and it has a lot to do with the three wise men. So now if you want to look into St. Nicholas, who was a real person, for those of you who were unaware, St. Nicholas was a real person. He was a bishop. He lived in the third century, which in what is now modern day Turkey. And so St. Nicholas, a wealthy and generous bishop, heard of a poor widowed father, so the story goes, of three girls who were worried his daughters would never find husbands. He was saddened to hear this. Nicholas snuck into their window houses and put bags of gold in each of the girls' stockings that were drying by the fire, right? You used to hang your stockings near the fire, near the fireplace, because the fire would dry them. The next morning, the girls discovered the gold and knew they could afford to pay their dowries and marry. And so dowries, you had to pay it off to another family, right? Whoever was your soon-to-be husband. It's an older ritual that happened in areas of the world where Middle Eastern, you know, a lot of biblical countries, stories, you'll see dowries having to be paid. Today, an orange in the stocking is said to represent the same gold by Saint Nick. So if you are one of the families that gives oranges and puts oranges in your stockings, well, that's because you get this from the story of Saint Nicholas and gold. Or nowadays they actually have gold chocolate coins, which that's what Santa brings to my house. There are two areas of thought here by parents when getting into who gives what. First, some parents want the credit. If you've become so obsessed with wanting your children to know that you worked hard, fine. Nobody can stop you with that. We understand that there's a very clear message out there that you have to work hard for what you get. And if you're one of those parents who wants to portray that to your children through this holiday, then you go right ahead. But know that the spirit of St. Nicholas and St. Nick is to give in secret. So by proclaiming that you worked hard your whole year round is directly against what St. Nicholas stood for and what the non-Jesus standings of this holiday is all about. It's to give simply as an act of kindness, not as an act of where credit is due. If you really want the thank yous on Christmas, then don't mark everything from Santa. Sure. But I think a better response would be encouraging your children early on in the Christmas experience, as early as possible, to give from their hearts and not from their wallets. I recently had a conversation with my son. We were actually heading back from church. It was one of his youth group meetings that he does at night. And so we were coming back from that. We were driving in my car and we were talking about Christmas presents and what he wanted to get his mom. And he had actually used some of his tickets that he earns at this youth group. You earn tickets and then you can exchange the tickets for candy or gifts. They have toys and stuff like that. Like, you're able to purchase things. And so instead of purchasing snacks and candy and that sort of a thing, he actually purchased Christmas presents for his mom and brother and sister. And so this is actually the second or third year that he's done this. He's exchanged his bills or, well, they're not real bills, but they're his awarded bills. And this year they were tickets for these goods so that he could go Christmas shopping, in a sense, because he doesn't really have money to actually go Christmas shopping. So this was his alternative. And so I told him this story when somebody had said to him that the gift that he had gotten wasn't worth it. Well, that's not worth the two tickets, as that child, the other child, had purchased a bag of chips. And so I told him this story and I said, imagine there's two men, one of which who trekked up a mountain where he and his wife had first met, and they find a rock that his wife had said that she had loved during their first initial hike and on their first date, right? They were sat on this rock and she said, oh, I love that rock. I love this rock. I love, it's so beautiful, that sort of a thing. So he hikes up the mountain, finds where they were, gets a rock or a similar one, and carves it into a heart and presents it to his wife as a gift Christmas morning. Now, the second man, he procrastinated. He realized that Christmas season had quickly come, and he headed out Christmas Eve or the week of Christmas, and he went out and bought a $5,000 rock, as in a diamond, different type of rock. And he presented this rock as a necklace, so the diamond necklace. Now, I said to him, which one of these two gifts or two rocks holds more value? There's an obvious answer in terms of worldly view. One obviously holds more worldly value. That can be bought, sold, traded, but one holds more spiritual value. So one was bought with love and the other was bought with money. One of these two rocks could be made clear to children this holiday season as to what holds the true spirit of Christmas. One of these is actually what Christmas is about. The other is what their worldly view and what this woman's Facebook post was about. So how does this move into business, you're asking? Okay, Roy, we understand that it's better to give and then get this holiday season. We should give with our hearts and not with our wallets, and make sure that our children are grateful. Sure. So what does this have to do with business? Well, great question. As projects and years come to a close, there are two ways that we can approach the end of quarter of Q4 and the end of the year. One is we can grab for little each bit of credit. After all, we're the business owners, we're the managers, we're the entrepreneurs. Isn't credit where credit is due to those who are in charge, right? Similar to a parent. Or we can do what a good manager and leader would do, and we can give credit to the magic of the team, the company, this metaphorical Santa. Now, will some other company leaders, entrepreneurs, and spotlighted individuals get more credit than us? Will they get the write-up? Will they get the blogs? Will they get, seemingly be made more important for the year, win the awards? Sure. But is that in the true spirit of what you want to accomplish as a business? In the same way you don't want your children going to school to brag on their iPads to make others feel bad, which, after all, is the true meaning of this post. It's not whether or not Santa gets the credit for the iPad and some hand-me-down jacket. It's the idea that it somehow leads to bullying or somebody feeling inept. You shouldn't be the business owner bragging of your accomplishments, as this will only alienate your employees. Give your tech team credit. Give your employees credit. Showcase their skills. Thank them for their progress. Give thanks to the agile process instead of the scrum master. And take the focus off of yourself and place that onto the team's processes and progress. So give more this holiday season, and always do more for others, for your clients and your employees, and don't worry about the credit. Give it to business Santa, right? And encourage your employees to do the same. And if you are truly worried about who apparently Santa loves more, then teach your employees, your children, and others that gratitude for what one has, and that giving from your heart is always worth more than a gift from a wallet. That is the true Christmas spirit. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on this earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. That's from a pretty old book. But store up yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Instead, exchange gifts of the Spirit, gifts of love, and gifts of the heart, gifts that are not of tangible worth that moths and vermin could destroy. That's from Matthew. So Merry Christmas to all of you, and may you all give a little more this holiday season. Thanks for checking out another episode of the Innovare Podcast. You can listen to all episodes at InnovarePodcast.com, on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever your podcasts are found. If you enjoy watching podcasts, check us out on YouTube for a visual behind-the-scenes look at all Innovare Podcast episodes. We have recently released a community of entrepreneurs. Find us on Facebook at Innovare Mindset. That's Innovare Mindset, to join the private group of entrepreneurs changing the world. Until next time, guys, see ya.